Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Take it, Marvin. Got your host, James Bidenmuck, joined by Mel.
Hello.
Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. We hope you all are having a great morning out there. We're going to have some fun in a little bit, get some entertainment news. Got a good one a little bit later we're going to get into as well. And some good news stories of the day, our schedule, and all of that coming up. But it's a Monday in the 10 o'clock hour. You know what that means. Tell me something
good. Good morning, and welcome to the Kitchens Open on WFHR. So last week, I got to spend the week at a camp in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina with about 70 high schoolers and about 20 other adults. It was a great experience. However, during the week, two of the part-time cooks walked off the job.
Oh, no.
After lunch, and some of us had to jump in to help.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Did they know, well, we got to give Beth content. We got to help her out with this.
No, but I mean, it was very great. And while I don't condone what they did, it did give me the opportunity to finally cook a big meal for a large group. I've always wanted to be one of the cooks.
Oh, very cool.
So I got the chance to do that. And the meal that we did was tacos. So one of the jobs I was tasked with was dicing onions for the toppings bar.
Oh my gosh, your eyes must be watering, Beth. Are you okay?
Not one bit, actually. I was able to use a kitchen hack I learned to save me the tears. I placed a wet paper towel by the cutting board, and as I diced, it drew in the oils from the onion. So I didn't have any tears, at least not from the onion. But it got me thinking about different tips and tricks that are out there to help in the kitchen.
Because there's no crying in the culinary arts.
Yeah, we're just going to let that one sit.
Oh, come on. Come on. Unless Gordon Ramsay is your boss. Or, then there's lots of crying, right?
Yeah. Or at least not in front of the head chef.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
Thank you, chef.
Yeah. So there are other kitchen hacks that I found on the Taste of Home website that may make cooking and baking a bit easier and possibly even more fun. So here are a few of them. Feel free to add as you want. Pit the cherries with a chopstick.
Huh?
Yeah. So you want to pit the cherries without a pitter. You put the cherry on top of an empty beer bottle or some. It can be a glass bottle. It can be a Coke bottle or whatever. Then use a chopstick or a reusable straw to push the pit right into the bottle.
Huh. Wow.
That's awesome.
Super handy and effective. And then all you have to do is dump out the bottle with all the pits in it.
It's like they collect the pits there. Nice.
Exactly.
Easy and handy. That's awesome.
Keeps things clean and nice. Mm-hmm. So that I thought that was a great hack.
Very cool.
You can also keep brown sugar soft with marshmallows. I did not know this one. So if you're a baker, you know that if you don't use your brown sugar in a certain amount of time, it gets rock hard.
Right.
And it's hard to separate. So if you place a few marshmallows into the container of brown sugar and tightly seal it, it softens the sugar in a day.
A day?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But you can keep the marshmallows in the container for up to a few weeks.
Nice.
So you never have to have hard brown sugar again. It's just one of the genius ways to keep brown sugar soft.
Cool.
So, you know, I've always known the trick about putting bread in with a cookie container so that your cookies don't get hard.
Yep.
Because the cookies will then take the moisture out of the bread. Right? Mm-hmm. I never thought about doing that with
that
brown
makes
sugar.
Sense, yeah.
And I'm wondering if, you know, other than marshmallows, if bread could do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just one of the ways.
I was going to say it's worth a try.
Yeah.
So there
someone
you go.
Should do that and let us know. That'd be cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can simmer tomato sauce with a carrot.
Yeah, this is wild to me, but I'm all ears.
All right.
So usually, if you look at most marinara sauces and pasta sauces in the grocery store, they always add sugar, because sugar is what helps to cut the acidity in it. If you want to go more natural and not add the extra sugar, carrots take away the acidity in tomato sauce by adding a subtle sweetness.
Oh, wow. That totally makes sense.
You're not using the processed sugars. It makes it a little bit healthier. If you find your sauce has gotten too acidic, peel a whole carrot, simmer it with the sauce, and remove it before serving. So you don't even have to keep the carrot in the sauce itself.
That's really cool.
I really want to try that.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
That sounds amazing. Wow.
It's amazing the kind of things that you can find out there. You can cube butter to soften it faster. I know this has happened to me where I've forgotten to take the butter out of the fridge, or last minute I'm like, oh, I want to make banana bread. But you have to have room temperature softened butter to be able to make the recipe properly. So if you forget to do that, take it out of the refrigerator like I do, there are a couple of things you can do. You can soften butter quickly by cutting the butter into cubes and letting it sit on the counter for 20 minutes.
Okay.
And then during that 20 minutes, you can be preheating your oven, you can be prepping your other ingredients, that kind of thing. So it doesn't really add too much more. Or one of the things that I found is you can use a cheese grater and you grate the butter into the bowl and let it sit for a little while.
Okay, that makes sense, yeah.
So the whole reasoning behind it is the smaller the pieces, the faster it will soften because it doesn't have to do the whole thing at once.
That's right.
There's more surface mass, so it adds a little bit more opportunity for things to melt.
Science!
Exactly. Science is our friend. You can cut steak fries with an apple slicer.
This one's cool. I like this one.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about this. I have an apple slicer. We use it at home all the time. Yep. Great for coring apples. But if you're craving scratch-made potato wedges from your favorite restaurant, you can use it as well. All you need to do is cut one end of the potato for stability and then push the apple slicer through.
Oh, my gosh.
It makes perfect sense.
It does. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so going to try this at some point.
And then all you have to do is add your favorite seasonings and you're ready to bake. And it doesn't just work with white potatoes. You can use sweet potatoes as well.
Ooh, sweet potato fries. Nice. Oh, yeah.
So, and if you have an air fryer,
there you go.
Easy healthy peasy. Alternative. Mm-hmm. Healthy alternative. Mm. Absolutely. You can use a damp dish towel to keep bowls steady.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. You need that extra hand. I never thought about it. I always tried to find the bowls that had the plastic or the rubber on the bottom, that it keeps it in place. Well, professional chefs will tell you that a damp dish towel under your mixing bowl will keep it from slipping and sliding on your counter as you mix.
This is one of those most obvious things. It's like, why didn't I think of this? Oh my gosh.
Like I love hacks of all kinds. Mm-hmm. I'm really enjoying this, Beth. You did some great work here. Every once in a while, they anger you a little. Like,
it's that hand slap to the forehead kind of thing. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And it works with cutting boards too.
Oh,
so if you don't want those going away while you're trying to cut things, which is much safer for your fingers.
Yes.
Mm. Keep that in mind. Yeah. You can lower egg temperature to room temperature in warm water.
Okay.
So when you're baking, it's important, again, to use the room temperature ingredients like the butters, unless the recipe specifically calls. Like if you're making a pie crust, you want that butter as cold as possible.
Right.
But if you're baking with the butter, you want it warm. It's the same with eggs. You want to have those at room temperature. But if you forget to take your eggs out of the fridge in time, you don't have to worry. Just place them in a bowl of warm water for a few minutes.
Makes sense.
And that'll raise that internal temperature of the egg.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't put it in boiling water because then you're going to have hard-boiled eggs and you can't really bake with it. So make sure
darn it, why
warm.
Isn't this working?
I've gone through a whole dozen.
Yeah, I know. You can store peanut butter jars upside down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you get, like, especially the natural peanut butter, and you know how you have to keep mixing that oil in.
Yep.
And that oil is usually at the top, and it becomes a pain to try to get the bottom stuff up. Just store it upside down with a lid down. And then when you're ready to use it, then you turn it right side up, and that makes it easier to stir the oil back in.
Mm-hmm.
As a professional peanut butter eater, I learned this one a while back.
Really?
I didn't know all the science behind it or anything, but I do remember doing this.
We did because of Anders' peanut allergy. We use butter for him, and it's, a lot of it comes that way where you have to do that. So you have to tip that one upside down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can prep your cheese grater with cooking spray.
Oh, nice.
Again.
Yeah, again.
Totally makes sense. Absolutely.
It's like, why didn't I think of this before?
Oh,
so grated cheese really makes the difference, but it can be a pain to prep. And you can buy it store-bought, but you know that they put those additives in it to make sure that it stays separated.
Mm-hmm.
So for easy cleanup, you can use a quick spritz of your cooking spray on your cheese grater to keep the cheese from sticking.
Wow. See, I got to try this one now. Because we've been doing that lately. If we shred cheese, we just get a block of cheese and shred it. And it can make a mess.
And you
with
leave
little
some
shreds.
Of the cheese there, so you're not really getting the full quality of the cheese that
right?
you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here's, I'll totally trying this one.
And then you can use the same hack with measuring spoons. So if you're measuring something sticky like honey or molasses,
of course,
quick spray of the cooking spray. It won't stick. You'll get all of that into your recipe rather than some of it sticking there.
That's a good one.
Again.
This makes me want to cook.
Yeah, it does. It really does.
There can be fun in the kitchen.
Yes.
There absolutely can be fun in the kitchen. And if you need extra storage space, because we all know what it's like to try to store pots and pans and containers and all of that.
Get a bigger kitchen. No.
If you have room in your kitchen, you just moved in.
Like that's exactly
the only
right?
time you have room in your kitchen.
Well, and there's more space than you think about it. If you open up your cabinet drawer and place hooks on there. You can either screw them in or you can get like the 3M that you stick on there.
The command center
hooks. And then you can put your spoons or your pot holders, your measuring spoons, extra gadgets right there on the door.
Very cool.
So that adds a little bit more space.
It's true. It gives me a chance to put up more hooks.
There you go. You can never have too many hooks.
I like hanging
things. I love the idea of James looking for ways to buy. I need more hooks up.
I like hanging things on walls.
There you go.
Like this.
And these are kind of hidden, so it's like you can surprise yourself every time you open the cabinet. Yes, oh, that's where I put it. Right. So you can microwave lemons before juicing.
Huh.
Did you know that? And you'll
I haven't juiced many lemons in my life, but that totally makes sense. Soften it up a little bit.
Or if you're making lemonade, you can get more juice out of it. So the next time you need that fresh lemon juice, maybe for one of the lemon recipes, Taste of Home has great recipes. I highly recommend heading to that website. But you can try a restaurant tip. They do this in restaurants. So you microwave the lemon for about 7 to 10 seconds, then roll it back and forth under your palm on the counter.
Oh.
That also helps to break down some of the fibers to release the juice.
Gotcha. Wow.
When you squeeze, you'll get more juice from the lemon with way easy effort.
Mm.
You can do it with limes too. And here's the other thing. We're going to talk about lemons in just a little bit. You want to make it easy, even easier? Instead of cutting the lemon in half, like most of us see, and then you have to deal with the seeds and all of that. Take a skewer, a knitting needle, a chopstick, or any tool of your choice and poke a hole through the non-stem end of the lemon.
Oh, yeah.
That totally makes sense. Yes.
And then you can just squeeze out that stream of lemon juice.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
How cool is that?
That's great.
No more of that extra on the counter or trying to pick out the lemon seeds. You got it all taken care of.
Oh, I like that one.
That's a good one.
And this last one that I have from the website, we have a plethora, and I love using that word too, of pizza cutters in our house.
Oh my gosh, we have so many.
Right? Yeah. And they're a great tool for pizza, but they can be used for more than that. You can use them, again, spray them with some cooking spray. You can use it to cut your pie crusts if you need to do that, if you want to make a lattice or something like that. You can also use it for cutting herbs. In all your directions. All you have to do is bunch up those herbs and wheel back and forth until you've reached your desired consistency.
Again, man.
It's been sitting right there in the drawer.
The whole time.
For you. Like, and I
do more than pizza.
I hate when an item takes up a ton of room, but you barely use it.
Yes.
Right.
And pizza cutters, you just don't, you use once a week maybe, if that.
Right.
And so I like the idea of finding other uses for that. That's really good.
This is the Church of Alton Brown, that you need, anything you buy needs to have multiple uses in the kitchen.
Oh, that's so mean.
You should never buy anything just for one thing. There's always something you can use for more than that. Yeah.
And so these are just a few. The Taste of Home article had 57.
Oh, jeez.
Kitchen hacks. And
the edited version.
I just picked and chose some of the ones that I thought were very fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Go check it out. You can just type into your whatever search engine you use, kitchen hacks.
Mm-hmm.
There are YouTube videos. I don't know how true they are, so I would say test it once.
Sure.
And if it works really well, then keep going with it. If you find
fun to experiment in the kitchen, right? Yeah.
A video that I saw that they had a contest on Taste of Home. They were able to line a loaf pan, like when you make meatloaf or have banana bread or something like that. And it can be hard getting the aluminum foil right. Instead of trying to do it inside right away, wrap it around the outside.
I think I saw.
Then you flip it over and put it inside, and it's already the shape you need it to be.
Oh my gosh!
That was the winner of their contest.
That's a great idea. Oh my gosh! Fantastic.
And we love cooking hacks.
My gosh! Yes,
that's a great list and a great article. Thanks for telling us.
If you have any, please let us know. You can email us. You can text us using the Civic Media app. Let us know what your favorite ones are. You can email me beth.habhager@civicmedia.us. Love to hear it. If you have suggestions about what you want to hear on the show, I want to know what those are. So let us know. You can also find us at the Plover Days. We're going to be having a booth there. That's July 26th.
Saturday the 26th.
So come find us there and let me know. So it's been fun sharing tips about the kitchen and cooking this morning, but I'd love the opportunity to share more about a business as a sponsor of this segment. So not only will you be mentioned during the show, your business will also be highlighted in our weekly newsletter. And I'll have the link to the article that I found all these hacks on on next week's newsletter. And there's also an option to be interviewed or have us broadcast live from your business.
Always a lot of fun. For more information about these opportunities, give us a call, 715-424-1300, and speak with Pam. She'll put you in touch with our sales team to work out all the details.
I have to be honest, I'm a little upset that Seth got to say the line about that there's no crying in culinary arts. I've been pouting. I've been pouting all morning
about it.
I just got to get it off my chest. He did a great job with it. He delivered it better. That number, again, is 715-424-1300.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
All right. That was a fun one. That was a lot of fun.
That was great, Beth. Thank you so much. And appreciate you being able to get back air with us and all that. We look forward to hanging out with you again next week.
All right. Sounds good.
We'll have another edition of the Kitchen's Open next Thursday for you. Everybody, stick around. We got more coming up, more in store right here at the Morning Show.
Tell me something good.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR.
Lady Madonna.
Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Thanks so much for joining us. And a big thank you to Beth for joining us with the Kitchens Open. That was fun.
That was a fun episode. Ooh, yeah.
Nice work. Nice work. We dive right into Dolly Parton news. This is a more of a solemn one, I would say. Dolly Parton is still mourning the passing of her late husband, Carl Dean, back in March. And being with someone for 60 years is so incredible. Cannot imagine how strange it must be after. Mm-hmm. Of course, it hasn't stopped any of Dolly's philanthropy work or business ventures. She's still been working at that. And I think not surprising, especially because just like being with her husband, she's also been working for so long. Mm-hmm. And routine can often be a healer, I think, for many of us. Work can be a healer for many of us. But she said she's having a hard time writing new songs. Mm. She said, I have so much going on that I can't afford the luxury of getting that emotional right now. She said there's several songs she wants to start, but she can't do it right now.
Wow.
And of course, I think we all echo, you know, take your time, do what you can with this. I think that it's noteworthy that an artist of her age and of her caliber and of legacy is still even thinking about writing new work. Mm-hmm. But anybody who has ever, and I don't mean just professionally, I mean if you've ever just enjoyed writing in general, or creating in general, you know how this works. I'm going to sit down now and come up with a great idea. Like, okay, good luck with that. talk to me at 2 a.m. when you're trying to fall asleep and it finally hits you.
Right,
or
exactly.
You're in the shower.
Yeah.
And you know,
driving in a car.
That's, you know, we don't get to pick and choose necessarily when great ideas or thoughts come in. Mm-hmm. So for her, I imagine that she's having the thoughts. She's not able to follow through on them because of where that will lead emotionally.
Right. And I want people to really think about this for a minute. She's, you know, she's treating it like she does a lot of things, you know, she's touching on it, but think about someone. This is songwriting for her is like breathing. She gets an idea or she feels something, she writes a song about it. That's, you know, just something she does, right? A lot of songwriters will tell you that's how it works. Mm-hmm. For her not to be able to do that sounds like something that's really hard because, she said, there's things I want to get out. There's things I want to write about, especially about how she's feeling right now. But this emotion is so strong that she can't do it. Oh, I actually feel really bad for her because of that. Man,
yeah.
I can't imagine. I cannot imagine.
You know, there's another part of this too, and I am hesitant to say this, and it's even harder to find the words. But I feel for anybody that has to go through these things in public. A part of the reason she's working and she's still doing these things, whether it's the rock albums or it is some of the, you know, work that she's doing for good causes out there and everything, she's staying busy and trying to keep working, trying to keep the heart busy, trying to keep the mind busy. Mm-hmm. And then you're sitting down in an interview and the first thing they ask you is, how are you doing? It's constant. It's always there. And you don't really get a break take from it. And right. Look, nobody better than Dolly Parton knows that this is an agreement with the public. Mm-hmm. You guys make me into Dolly Parton, a household name, world sure. name, and all that. And I share part of my life with you. Mm-hmm. I share some of my interests and my likes and my flavor, you know, all these things.
Right.
Nobody maybe has done it better in entertainment history than Dolly Parton. Mm-hmm. And I still empathize with her. I still feel for it.
Right.
I'm not expecting anybody to feel that way, or I don't even expect her right. to even look for it.
Tremendously sure, successful, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it just, it does, it's rough. And I wish her the best.
You can imagine it that, you know, part of her life that was more private too. Her married life. That's something she didn't talk about a lot. You know, that was kind of her private side, and now that's gone. So she's having to deal with that too. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. She doesn't do another artistic thing the rest of her life. Obviously, her legacy is set in multiple mediums.
Right.
But I think just with sharing this story right here, and this last one, and one of the last acts she's got, or what have you, I don't know. I think she's got a long time left. But yeah. Here she is, even still, like, giving and teaching. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, you artists out there, you're ever in this situation, here's a blueprint of how, you know, right. at least everybody's got to handle these things differently. But, sure. I mean, you know, it's pretty noteworthy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wanted to mention a couple of other things as well. One of them was the weekend box office numbers.
Oh,
Superman is not only lifting up tall, you know, jumping over tall buildings, lifting heavy things. He is also bringing in the bucks.
Not surprised.
Superman, the newly rebooted comic book adventure starring David Cronenweth as the Man of Steel, flew to $122 million in its first weekend of release.
Very
Those
nice.
Are strong ticket numbers, enough to rank it as the third largest debut opening of the year.
Not bad at all.
A Minecraft movie and Lilo and Stitch are the only movies that had bigger weekends.
Bigger ones, yeah.
Noteworthy two things. One, it is always important to see how a movie does in its second week mm-hmm. and its third week, especially in this scenario when given the time of year and Hollywood blockbuster time of year, when you're not only competing with Jurassic Park that just came out last week mm-hmm. and a couple of other movies that are big right now, but also what's coming up next week, which is the Fantastic Four reboot right. from Marvel.
Yeah.
I love that they purposely released these movies a week apart from each other. Mm-hmm. They did not want to compete on opening weekends with each other,
right.
but still wanted to compete a little bit. Right. That you're going to see a lot of that going forward, and I think that movie fans are suited better for it.
Right. I smell a conspiracy, but no, I'm just kidding. Yes.
I got to say, I saw it, and
okay.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I liked
very nice.
It. I didn't think it was the greatest superhero movie I ever saw or anything like that. It didn't necessarily break the, you know, change the mold of superhero mm-hmm. movies or anything like that. But I think that I have a problem with Superman like a lot of people do. What is the thing that brings us to characters? Their flaws, not their
vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He has none.
Kryptonite.
Well, that's true. There's kryptonite. You know, yeah, fair. Fair.
And outside of that, there is yep. no flaws to this man. Mm-hmm. And I think it's his relatability has always been hard. James Gunn went into this talking about Superman being an alien and the importance of that and trying to somewhat metaphor immigration and some of those things. Mm-hmm. There's some other stuff in it that's a little like that, but not really. It's not on the nose, that's for sure.
On the background, yeah.
And the thing that stood out to me about it, first off, the chemistry. The chemistry was fantastic in the movie.
Nice.
The actors in it were really good. Cronenweth is just a joy as Superman. He is
really
as a character that we have seen so many times. I think he brings such a fun light to it, and a genuine one. And there's one thing, and I'm not going to spoil anything for anybody or anything, but there is one thing about the movie that I don't see any of the critics talking about. Mm. There's a part in it where Lois and Clark are having this makeshift interview that's not real, that's just between them. And they're talking about punk and punk rock music and punk in general.
Okay.
And Lois is sort of more along the lines of, no, punk is this and it's raw and it's all these things and it's going against society norms. And Clark is kind of like, well, in this day and age where everything is so negative and everything is so dark and everything is all this and everything, isn't being kind the new punk? And it is a spin that is done so masterfully. And I would love to see that catch on as a trend.
Interesting.
Because I have been saying for a long time, like you may have heard other people, that romantics are the new rebels.
Mm.
And I'm not just talking about romance and love and between siblings and others or anything that. I mean having a kind heart, treating somebody well. When you get spit in the face, looking them in the eye, and just wiping it away. And moving on, being able to take things that all the strongest human beings, the manly men that I've known in my life, or whatever you want to say, they were these people. Mm-hmm. They could do that. They didn't just lose it at the drop of a hat. They didn't just flip out over anything. And I kind of dug that about the movie. It wasn't trying too hard. It wasn't trying to break. Okay, this movie's got to spin off 18 other franchises. It's just a standalone movie. It's just an introduction, and he does a nice job of not trying to overwhelm you with too much, while also there's a lot of special effects, a lot of color to it. It's a fun movie.
That's good.
I thought it was fun. I thought it was an interesting take on it.
So maybe this is not a fair question for you, James, because I'm guessing Melissa hasn't seen it. And of course I have not seen it either. And this may not be fair. I'm just because it's the iconic original Superman movie, the one we grew up on. What's your comparison, or can you not compare the two?
Oh, I can. Okay. I can, because I think it goes back to that. I think back to we don't remember as well. Those movies had their darkness to them.
Oh, sure. They sure did.
Well, we didn't have a bald Lex Luthor. We had Gene Hackman as Lex Luthor, yes. Which we all just skate past all the time.
Right.
It's one of the greatest actors any of us seen playing that role. And back then, they couldn't go too dark, of course, but there were moments of it. And there was also hope in those movies. And how do you write hope? How do you act hope? What special effect can give you hope? It has to be genuine. It has to be real. The cast has to feel, the writers, all that. They had that in the originals.
Yes, they did.
They didn't. They've missed.
Even when they went dark. And they did go dark, especially in Superman 2. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought they did that really well with this. All the cast did a really good job, but and Mr. Terrific stole the show. The dog stole the show. Everybody. But for me, I haven't gotten to see Rachel Brodeshan enough.
Oh, okay.
Marvelous Miss Maisel. Wisconsin's own.
Oh, I didn't know she was from Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
She is amazing. God, I love watching her work.
What role is she playing?
She is Lois.
Oh, she's Lois. She's Lois. Okay. Oh, nice.
And the chemistry between those two, flawless.
Nice.
No notes. Incredible. Just wonderful.
That's really cool.
All that said, I'm more curious to see what the audiences think, what people out there are going to think, and how it does.
The leg. See what legs it has, yeah.
How it does in comparison with Fantastic Four and out there. I will say, looking at the Rotten Tomato numbers, almost exact, just a couple of points below Thunderbolts. So it's right there. With it.
Okay, all right.
And a congratulations to James Gunn.
Yes.
Because this is a big...
Good for him.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Seth, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about West Side Story with you.
Oh, very cool.
And hear
all right.
how that went.
Sounds good.
I do want to remind everybody that WRC Theater has another Hopo production coming up. Their main Hopo production, I'm sorry. Another kid production, but the main Hopo production,
right.
Brothers Grimm, Spectaculathon coming up. We'll touch on that too. All coming up on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. We're going to get into some fun in a moment and get into our schedule and good stories of the day a little bit later. But over the weekend, the 2025 teen musical for Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater wrapped up, West Side Story. Seth was a part of that. How did that go, Seth?
It was so great. I know we get to talk a little bit about on Friday and everything about Thursday's performance, but I have to give these kids a massive shout out. They don't get a ton of time, and they have to learn so much. And for those people who know musicals, will know that West Side Story is a difficult score, meaning that it's written in such a way where the notes, it's not exactly. In a way that you're used to singing songs like this. There's just they have interesting notes, a lot of minor key stuff that you're not used to singing, and these kids knocked it out of the park. I mean, they put so much effort and work into it. I mean, I cannot tell you their rehearsal schedule was intense, and they stuck through the whole thing, and the performances they put on were just fantastic, and I cannot give them enough credit.
Congratulations to all of them involved. I hope they had fun and enjoy the rest of their summer. The Hopo production of the Brothers Grimm Spectaculathon is coming up August 2nd.
Still not fair.
You can get your tickets at wrctheater.org. We'll talk more about that as we get closer to it. Did also want to mention our good friends over at Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater, CWAC, are up to some fun. They got a great one coming up, that Schmeckley Shakes. And it's going to be not only Romeo and Juliet, which will premiere July 31st.
That's so funny. West Side Story, Romeo and Juliet, same
really,
story.
Really, really. It's perfect.
Yeah.
It'll also, on August 1st, feature their 52nd season opening banquet. So I want to congratulate them on their opening their 52nd season.
Very cool.
This all takes place at the Schmeckley Amphitheater in Stevens Point. Mm-hmm. Check that out and find out more at CWAC.org.
Nothing like Shakespeare in the outdoors.
Yeah.
That's maybe where it should be played.
As somebody that got to do that, I would not have realized that until doing it. And you're 100% right.
That's cool.
Preach it to the suns until the end of time. I think there's something about it that's so throwback, and it's just so the way that they always did it back in the day. It's, it's really interesting.
Very cool.
I think it's really cool. Yeah. Let's talk about being cool. What is cool? And how you say cool. And the fact that cool is still means cool, even though it didn't. My father saying it the same way I'm saying it right now back when he was in high school.
Hey, man. West Side Story has a song called Cool in it. Yeah. Seriously, the whole thing is.
Ties together.
It does.
So whether you're, quote, cool or not is totally subjective. And oftentimes the people who don't think they're cool are actually a lot cooler than they realize. And people that they think are cool, they, you know, so on. Well, a new study looked at what cool means to the average person.
Okay.
They pulled 6,000 people in a dozen countries around the world, and it turned out that where you live doesn't actually matter much.
Okay. Oh, all right.
Coolness and what makes you cool is fairly universal. They found it comes down to 6 core traits. If you score high in all of them, you're definitely cool, at least to the average person.
Gotcha.
Now, keep that in mind. And, of course, this is all subjective.
Very
and
subjective.
It's a state, but, and, you know, right. The 6 traits that make us think someone's cool are, quote, being extroverted, adventurous, open, autonomous, hedonistic, and powerful.
Oh, okay.
Now, you probably know what the first 3 mean, but the other 3, autonomous, means you're independent and don't try to fit in. You kind of do your own thing.
Do your own thing and you're proud of it. Yeah.
Hedonistic means that you can enjoy yourself without feeling guilty about it. So, you know, time alone or just being you or something along those lines.
Hedonistic is not a great word for that, because there's actually a very actual meaning of the word hedonism, and that's not really what it means.
That's not really it. So that's why I was really trying to get to these definitions as fast as I could.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah.
And powerful means you're confident and don't let people push you around.
Sure.
But they also are quick to point out you don't wield that power.
Like in a destructive way, right?
Mm-hmm. Like authoritarian or dictatorship kind of power is not really seen as cool.
Right.
Yeah. If none of these 6 traits fit you well, it doesn't mean that you're not a cool person. It just might not fit the cookie cutter definition of what cool means in 2025.
Right.
They noted that coolness is a social construct, and everyone polled had to be familiar with the word cool for their vote to count. Meaning that movies, TV, and social media have taught us what cool means. So they were kind of just repeating what the definition is, not necessarily what they think cool is.
Right, and that's where the kinks come in. That's where it's like it gets a little sketchy here, because it's like, well, which came first, right?
Right.
Is it the definition or is it the traits? Right. That's the question.
A good example I think of this, as long as we're talking about pop culture, is what happens a lot of time in successful TV shows. They will introduce what they think, oh, the ratings are slipping, we have to introduce a, quote, cool character. And so the, you know, producers, the writers, the creatives will get together and they will essentially look at pop culture and say, well, what is cool? Hey, sunglasses are cool. Hey, skateboarding's cool. Hey, hip-hop music's cool. So we'll just throw a character together that has all those. And then, of course, you get a character everybody everybody hates.
Right.
Because...
Just, you know you want it, James. You just watch the episode about Poochie.
Yep.
And the Simpsons episode that's about exactly Poochie, and that's all you need to do. That's all right there.
That's right. It's such a great episode because it's so dead on. It's so accurate. And it's something that they've tried to do for a long time. Happy Days did this. Yes. And many TV shows have done it, and it fails. And it really doesn't work.
It usually doesn't work. By the way, they only have half of the survey here because I saw this. But there was another part to it, and the people and the traits for people who are considered good. And it was a very different list, as you could probably I can't think of what they were off the top of my head, but it's, you know, like warmth and, you know, congeniality with other people, you know, that kind of stuff. It's the stuff you would think of, you know, what makes you good, compassionate, this kind of stuff, which I don't know why they didn't include that in this list,
but
it was part of the survey, which I thought, oh, that's interesting.
So being cool is different than being good.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's at least the way they framed it. So, I mean, again, it's up to you, I suppose.
Past studies have found that being friendly and competent are also seen as cool traits.
Yeah.
And authors of the study were also quick to note that being cool doesn't mean you're a good person. Also, they did touch on a little bit there,
yeah.
Many of the coolest people in history, maybe even most of them, were total jerks.
Yeah, at least the ones we know about, right? Mm-hmm,
yeah. And again, going by cool to this definition, to this, you know... But I used, and Seth is right, whether I realized it or not, I was right away going to a Simpsons episode and kind of referencing some of that. But I think of marketing in general almost like this. Mm. How often, for every successful ad, how many fail? And every one of them are trying to do the same thing. They're all trying to be cool. They're all trying to be give you the newest this, the newest that, and be consistent with it and create something marketing-wise that is going to get people's eyeballs to commercials, to ads. It's maybe the most difficult thing in all of media is trying to get somebody to care about 30 seconds,
right? You know, exactly,
or something like that. And they try forever. And for everyone that is successful, there are 100 that aren't.
Yeah, right.
And all of them are trying to do the same thing: be cool, be, you know,
be hip, be now, right? Yeah.
I will say, all of this being said, and this is an interesting list, and I've enjoyed the conversation and everything. I really did this just to say the word coolness more,
which is not a bad idea.
I really feel like we need
especially
that more
on a day like today.
Yeah, right.
Just
talk
about cold things.
I love the idea that cool is still so relevant in our language.
The
fact that using it that way, like I said, back in the when West Side Story was created, back in the 50s, cool was already a thing. People already knew what it meant, you know. You're cool, yeah. You know,
I just love
that idea.
It's gone longer than groovy.
Yeah. Any number of other words. Cool has really stuck, and like so many things, it came from alternative culture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Back in the 40s, what was
but
cool?
Meaning,
it was a
yeah. The meaning hasn't changed. Which
not
a lot of things. Have
you true?
Yeah,
very very
wild
true.
To think of, I don't know. Even if like trying to put together a list that hasn't,
right?
You know,
especially
really
for vernacular,
list.
You know, words that you'd think would change a lot over the years. Cool, really,
read
has stayed
some,
the same.
Read some poetry from the late 1800s and the early 1900s, and you will realize that a lot of those words just don't mean the same thing now that they did then.
It's hilarious. Yeah, I think it's funny.
Look at Melissa encouraging people to read 19th century poetry.
Good stuff.
Awesome.
Good stuff.
I love it. What other morning show is going to do that? I ask you.
Nobody.
Morton Kondracki.
Nah. We'll be back with more show coming up. Morning show on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now, right away.
That was great.
That was great. Thank you, Brittany. That was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking of it in a different context. Stay cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. We got to get to our schedule and some good stories of the day. Before we do, I have a good story of the day that I'll include that after our schedule. Let's get to that first and some news and notes locally here. And we got a great Rapids report lined up for you today, everybody. Some of it I just found out about. We have Sally Kistner and Eric Brickenocker joining us from the Arts Council. Always love talking with them, getting to know them, getting to hang out with them a little bit. And we're going to be getting to know the guys, the gang from Yacht Rock Gold Experience.
Oh, that's coming up in August, yeah.
Yeah, we got a show right on August 10th that we're looking forward to at the PAC. We'll be talking about that with Sally and Eric and Joe Barak, a band member with the We'll all get to know him a little bit.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. And in part two, we're going to be talking with our good friend Kathy McGrath, Monarch expert.
Oh, Kathy, nice. Yes. Yay. She's great.
Love talking mm-hmm. with Kathy. Yep. We've done that for many, many years, mm-hmm. and it'll be great to have her back in studio. We should get her a bin or something so she doesn't have to keep her stuff here.
Right, yeah.
She's great. I love talking with her. I also wanted to remind everybody about Playmakers going on today from 4 to 5 on 105.5 WIRI. We're going to have a fun show today, talk a little MLB draft, be talking about some other stuff, and of course, our Rafters, with them being in their All-Star break right now,
yeah.
We've got a couple of fun people joining us today. Well, sort of players. so joining us today, and I want to send a big shout-out to Jake Adams, who sent over this morning, who will be joining us. First off, we'll have their intern, Ryan. Ryan's been with us before.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Talk to him a little bit. He's a great talker. Mm-hmm. Ryan's great. And PressBox intern-turned-starting pitcher Kenny Schultz is going to be with us as well.
What?
Oh, yeah. This great story.
That's a great story.
Yeah. We're going to ask Kenny about that.
I'd heard Austin mention it on the air, but I had forgotten about that. That is so cool. Yeah.
Be listening for Meet Your Rafters from 4 to 5 today. 4:30 we'll do that. But from 4 to 5, it's Playmakers today. We speak sport. Join us. We'll be having some fun with that.
Love it.
Also, a couple of other great things going on in our community, Seth, we wanted to touch on.
Of course.
We have our city band that is going to be in action tomorrow over Robinson Park at 7:30. Be sure to head on over there and make plans to check that out. That's going to be a lot of fun. Also, some other stuff going on.
Yeah, the next Rendezvous in the Park is coming up on Wednesday, everyone, in Nakusa and Riverside Park, 916 Prospect Avenue. The food truck that's going to be there this time is going to be our friends over at Chatterbox. Always good to see them out in the community. And the entertainment is going to be the Shanty Towners, which is a fantastic name.
Such a good name.
Oh, that's a great name.
I want to know more about them after the show. I'm going to look that up. And it's from 5:30 to 7 at Riverside Park, coming up on Wednesday in Nakusa. Always look forward to these fun events. Mm-hmm. Coming up on July 23rd, that is a week from Wednesday, the Wood County Veterans Expo will be taking place at Crossview Church, starting at 9, going until about noon. That is right after Heroes Cafe, everyone, for those would like to go attend both of those. Join the Toma VA Medical Center and the Wood County Veterans Service Office as they give you an update on all kinds of benefits and services for veterans and their families. We cannot stress enough how important this is. So if you are a veteran or a veteran or family or even an active service member's family, go to this, find out what benefits and what services they have to offer here mm-hmm. in Wood County at the VA office out of Toma. There's a lot of stuff there and a lot of organizations that will be there to answer all your questions. So please take advantage, everyone.
Yeah,
it's a great opportunity mm-hmm. to have some good conversations.
Yep.
Got a Wisconsin Rapids blood drive happening tomorrow from, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, you're
10
right.
10 to 3. 10 to 3 that'll be going on over at the former East Shore High School cafeteria, 311 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids from 10 to 3. That will be going on tomorrow. You can find out more at communityblood.org. Head on over there to find out. We appreciate all of you who can and will be donating.
Yes.
Thank you so much to everybody out mm-hmm. there doing that. Good stories of the day now, and this one comes to us from the goodnewsnetwork.org. Alabama will be the site of a new training camp for the next generation of female astronauts, funded and named in honor of one of the profession's great pioneers. Nicole Nichols Space Camp.
Oh my gosh. Nichelle Nichols, that's awesome.
Nichelle Nichols Space Camp honors someone who pioneered an idea rather than a profession, mm-hmm. An idea that color barriers didn't exist in outer space. Passing away in 2022, African-American actress Nichelle Nichols was the first black woman to star in a primetime American TV show mm-hmm. when she took the role of Lieutenant Uhura. On Star Trek as a bridge officer. Obviously, mm-hmm. we've talked about this a bit over years and everything. And certainly the game changer that was. And this is just really cool.
It's very cool.
Whoopi Goldberg put it later and said, "I just saw a black woman on television and she ain't no maid." She was a respected position.
Yep.
She was on the
bridge. She was a bridge crew member, which was big, you know.
Her character was oftentimes asked and worked in high pressure and saved mm-hmm. situations.
Yep.
So it was also not just a African-American woman, but a woman who didn't need to be saved by a man at times.
Nope.
Sometimes she was saving the men.
Yep.
So there's another number of things noted. I didn't, you know, as I've mentioned, I was
not a Star Trek guy. Yeah.
So just things pulling from the article here, but I thought that was noteworthy and worth mentioning.
That was very cool because if to a member of the original Star Trek actors, they were all big supporters of the space program for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. And I love the idea that now they are naming something after her specifically, which is very, very cool.
Yeah, it's really good to see. Yeah. And a real tip of the hat to them for
absolutely
doing that. Some other world good stories. A GameStop in New York was in the news last month after a bunch of Nintendo Switch 2s got ruined because an employee stapled receipts directly to the boxes.
Oh, no!
Some of the staples went through the boxes and into the console screens.
Oh, no.
The store replaced them all, and now it's led to some unexpected good news. GameStop is auctioning off the first Nintendo Switch 2s that got stapled, along with the staple and stapler that did it, and giving all the money to charity.
Wow.
The auction is on eBay, with proceeds going to Children's Miracle Network hospitals.
Nice.
Last look, over $250,000 bid is on that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Turn a negative into a positive.
Yeah, lemons into lemonade.
That's pretty cool. That is pretty cool.
That is a good story.
A team at MIT came up with a new implantable device for people with diabetes. It stores spare amounts of the hormone glucagon. And if your blood sugar gets too low, it releases enough to save your life.
Ooh.
They think the same technology could also work with epineural and treat allergic reactions. And
oh, some epinephrine, that. Yes.
Epinephrine, okay. Yep. And other things like that.
Really? Oh, wow, that's cool.
That's just beginning.
Yeah.
That type of technology and figuring those things out, we're just on the cusp of it.
Very cool.
And it's one of the most exciting horizons we'll ever see in front of us. It's really interesting. And an 80-year-old runner from Florida named Bob Becker just became the oldest person to complete what's billed as the world's toughest foot race. The Badwater Ultra Marathon is a 135-mile run through Death Valley.
Oh, my God.
You've got 48 hours to do it, and he finished with 3 hours to spare.
Holy cow.
Oh, at 80?
He's 80 years old?
80.
Wow.
80.
Holy cow.
Just when I was starting to feel like I was in shape. Like just when I was starting to feel like,
sorry,
you know,
dude.
What? I'm feeling pretty good about this. I'm feeling, you know.
Someone's just going to always get you on that.
Bob over here. That's so cool.
That's amazing. Awesome. First of all, ultra marathons, insane. They are insane. I was tangentially connected to one of the all-time greats. I played with his little brother when I was a kid, who turned into one of the big ultra marathon guys. I can't even remember his name off the top of my head. But so I know I read articles about him. You know, just the ultra marathons. These are just crazy things. But to do it at 80 in the desert, oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Amazing.
A true credit to him. Really, really a big credit to him on that one. And a big thank you to all of you. We appreciate you joining us out there. Thank you so much for the time, everybody. Melissa and I will be back at this tomorrow. We'll have some fun with you. I want to remind you again, Raptors baseball, they're off right now. The Raptors will be back.
Until Friday? Is that right?
Friday.
Yeah, they'll be back on Friday. Yeah.
So, you know, in the meantime, be sure to check out Playmakers with us. We'll meet your Raptors a little bit later today. And, of course, on Wednesday, we'll be talking a little bit more about the All-Star break and some of the Home Run Derby. We have our own new Noah Ruiz that's going to be from the Raptors.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's going to be part of it, so that'll be fun. You too. Great show today.
You too, man.
You too, James.
Be good to each other out there.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.